beginning at verse 22 down through chapter 2 and verse 3. 1 Peter 1, 22 through 2, 3. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's pray. Father, help us, Lord God, to taste of your graciousness tonight, Father. Help us, Lord, in the matter that's before us. Guide and direct. Open my mouth, Lord God, and just give me great help as I seek, Father, to point out some things, point out some help we need from the Word of God tonight. Lord, help each and every listener that you would be honored and glorified by what we hear, and so that we can apply it to our lives to be better servants of yours. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Just before the church service, Brother Seth came up to me and he asked, what was the title or the topic of the message tonight? And I told him what we had printed in the bulletin. I told him the title is Why You Neglect the Bible. So if you're taking notes, that's the title, Why Seth Neglects the Bible. What? In my Bible study recently, I've just been seeing so many diagnostic things. I preached a message, Why You Don't Like Church. Why you this and why you, several, and I just noticed here in this passage, there is a desire on the part of the people Peter writes to for the Word of God. And sometimes we don't have the desire for the Word of God that we ought to have. And I think that that's a spiritual problem. And just like any spiritual problem, we turn to the Word of God for the help that we need to diagnose that problem. Here's the question or the thought tonight. Why you neglect the Bible? There are times where you just devour the Bible, where your daily Bible reading and even Bible study, if you're anything like me, and I assume that you are, because I don't think I'm the weirdest guy out there, at least most of the time I don't think that, if you're anything like me, there are times where you're just eating the Bible up. Usher want to let Jeff in the back door. And if you're also anything like me, there are times when you go through that slump. Maybe you just get a little bit behind in your daily Bible reading. Maybe you get a little bit discouraged in it and gets hard to pick up the habit again, gets hard to pick it back up. And we find that our desire for other things has crowded out our desire for the Bible. Here's the question. Why is that? Why do we sometimes neglect the Bible? Why do we not read it like we should day by day? Maybe we set out to follow a schedule like we've done in our devotional book and we find ourselves getting behind or even laying it aside. Maybe we've not studying it when we thought we were going to, I'm really going to study this topic. I'm really going to study the Bible. And something happens. Maybe a long series of things happens and we find that we've neglected the Bible. Here's the question. Why do you neglect the Bible? Why do I neglect the Bible? I think there's some help for that here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and 2 here. I notice, first of all, from this text, it could be that you have no desire for the Bible because you've never been a newborn babe. Look at chapter 2, verse 2. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word. What does Kinsey can tell us what a newborn babe desires. Sam and Kinsey, has she desired it in the middle of the night yet? Oh, you force her to. You have to force feed her in the middle of the night. You may, and this may not be the case, but you may neglect the Bible because you've never been a newborn babe. This entire passage that we've read is about our relationship with the Word of God. It's about our interaction with the Word of God. And it's predicated upon one simple concept. It's repeated several times. The fact that Peter's writing to people who've been born again. Notice up in verse 22, seeing ye have purified your souls. Verse 23, being born again. And then he talks about how we get born again at the end of verse 25. By the gospel is preached unto you. And then again in chapter 2 as newborn babes. Over and over in this passage he's talking about our interaction with the Word of God. And it's predicated upon the fact that first you've been born again. It could be you have no desire for the Word of God because you've never been born again. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. What does that mean? It means this. In order for you to understand the Bible, beyond the simple things that we can just, that are on the surface that we can plainly understand, in order for you to really understand the Bible, you've got to have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, teaching you what the Bible really means. And you only get that once you've truly been born again. It could be if you don't understand the Bible, and I know there are some things that none of us understand. I know that. I get that. I know that there are things that are difficult to understand. I understand that. But if your overall testimony is, man, I just don't understand the Bible, it could be you're not truly born again. I'm not trying to talk anybody out of their salvation. If you've trusted Christ as Savior, if you've been born again, I am not trying to get you down the aisle to get you saved again. I'm not trying to do that. But the fact of the matter is, Baptist churches just like this one have pews that are filled with people that think they're saved because they've said a sinner's prayer, that think they're saved because they've walked an aisle, that think they're saved because they've knelt at an altar, that think they're saved because they shook the preacher's hand, that think they're saved because they've been dipped in the tank, that think they're saved because they've joined a church. You can do that all of that 17 times in a row, and you'll never be saved until you repent and trust Christ. Then you'll be indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Then you'll be able to comprehend the Bible more and more. If your testimony is, well, I'm saved, but I just don't understand the Bible. Or your testimony is, well, I'm saved, but I just don't really care for the Bible. Or, well, I'm saved, but I just don't get anything out of the church services and out of the preaching. You better stop lying and stop starting those sentences with, well, I'm saved, because you might not be. Why you neglect the Bible? It's possible. Consider the possibility that it's because you've never been that newborn babe. Number two, why you neglect the Bible. Look, let's start at verse 23 now. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now he quotes Isaiah. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth. Well, we see that in August in Iowa. And the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. It could be you neglect the Bible because you've never come to the conviction that today we have the preserved word of God. You might have fallen under the spell of someone, oh, we just don't really know what books belong in the Bible and what books don't belong in the Bible. Hogwash. You might have fallen under the spell of the modern textual criticism that says, well, you know, the King James translators, they used the wrong Greek manuscripts in the New Testament. They really didn't have the Word of God in 1611. They actually started translating in 1602, by the way. They didn't have the Word of God. And, you know, because according to that theory, the Word of God, the real text of the New Testament was hidden away somewhere in a desert monastery decorated with skulls. That's where they found it and then translated the modern versions from it. And, oh, because it's a little bit older than the other ones, it must be closer to the original, despite the fact that it differs in hundreds and hundreds of places from the thousands of other manuscripts. You might have fallen under that spell. And if that's your idea, that the Word of God was hidden away in the desert for hundreds and hundreds of years and God's people never had access to it, I can understand why you just have no taste for it. But what's the Bible say? Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. We have the Word of God. We've always had the Word of God ever since it was first written. To hold your place here in 1 Peter, turn with me to the 100th Psalm, Psalm 100. According to the concept that has produced the modern Bible versions, whether it's the NIV, the ESV, the RSV, the NASV, the XYZBZDZB, according to that concept, God's people were without the Word of God generation after generation after generation after generation until somebody was messing around in the desert and said, aha, I found it. Do you believe that? Psalm 100. Let's just go at verse 5. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Since the Word of God was first penned, there's not been a generation that's been without it. It didn't have to, it wasn't hidden away, it had to be rediscovered. But if that's what you think, then I can understand why you have no taste for the Word of God. If you're relying on those modern texts that produce those, if you're relying on those error-filled texts that produce the modern versions, and it's removed the beauty of the deity of Christ in so many places, it's removed so many wonderful and beautiful doctrines in so many places, I can see why you have no appetite for it. Back to 1 Peter, number 3. Why you neglect the Word of God. Chapter 2, verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Did you see that? The command is to desire the sincere milk of the Word, but the basis of the command, the requirement of the command, is to lay aside some devilish sins. Maybe you have no desire for the sincere milk of the Word because you're holding on to some devilish sins. Look at these. Chapter 2, verse 1. Malice. Ill will toward others. Evil intent toward others. The desire to see others come to harm. That could be because of a heart of vengeance. He done me wrong. She done me wrong. Boy, I sure like to see them get theirs. And I'm going to cause it. That could be, maybe you don't want to cause it, but you sure would like to see somebody else or even God cause it. Malice. Evil intent. Ill will. I just can't wait till they get their comeuppance. Till they get what's coming to them. And all guile That's any form of deception. That includes outright lies. That includes deception by withholding the truth. I told Jonas I'd use him as an illustration. He said when he meets people and they ask about his hand, he said he stopped telling them that he shot his hand. He started telling them, "I got shot." Laying aside all guile. I bought a car one time. I bought a 1978 Ford LTD. It was Ford green. Yeah, it was. 351 Windsor. And he'd replaced that Motorcraft carburetor with a Holley 4 barrel. So when I went to go look at the car before I bought it, he opened up the trunk and he said, "Here, I'll open up the trunk so you can see what you're getting." And that's all he said. And I looked at it and like, yeah, I'm getting a trunk. Okay. Yeah, it'll hold 6 or 7 dead bodies if I want to. To shut the trunk. About a month after I owned the vehicle, I figured out what he meant. He was trying to soothe his conscience by showing me the trunk, but not actually telling me this trunk leaks really bad. Laying aside all guile. These are sins that will quench your desire for the Word of God. Come on. Look at the next one. And hypocrisies. I don't think I need to spend a whole lot of time explaining what a hypocrite is, because you've spent your entire life either accusing other people of being a hypocrite or being accused of being a hypocrite. So I'm just going to move on. And envies. Keeping up with the Joneses. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor his wife, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. And all evil speakings, carrying gossip, repeating it, listening to it, slander, libel, cussing, lie. Hey, these things, Peter says, lay aside. They just need to be carried off and dumped in a ditch somewhere and covered up. These are sins that will quench your desire for the Word of God. It could be you neglect the Word of God because you're holding on to these devilish sins. And why do I call them devilish sins? Well, these are all sins that characterize Lucifer himself, Satan himself. Think about it. The devil can't fornicate. The devil can't get drunk. The devil can't smoke and chew but every single one of these, the devil does. What's his attitude toward the Word of God? He hates it. These are, listen, by the way, these are also sins that, unfortunately, the rest of us, if you're caught up in these, the rest of us can't always notice. If you're caught up in fornication, you're a member of this church, you're going to get churched if you don't repent. If you're a member of this church and you're hanging around the bar, you're going to get churched. You're going to get church disciplined. But if you're caught up in malice and guile, these other things, we may not even know about it. We might know as you get worse and worse, that guy's changing, but we may not know why. And as you sink deeper and deeper and deeper down that hole, your desire for the Word of God shrinks and shrinks and shrinks. And shrinks. Lay them aside. Amen. Lay them aside. It could be you neglect the Word of God because you're holding on to devilish sins. Well, I've given out a lot of gift Bibles as gifts. And usually when I do that, maybe to somebody that's recently trusted Christ or something like that, usually when I do that, I write on the inside of the Bible, "This book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." These are sins that will quench your desire for the Word of God. Lay them aside. Number next, whatever number we're on, I don't know. Verse 2. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. Of course, the illustration is just like a newborn baby has a craving for its mother's milk. Desires sincere milk. That word means pure in the sense of not being mixed with anything else. Katie, have green beans yet? No. What does Katie have? Chocolate cake yet? No. What's she get? Milk. Anything else but milk? Just milk. Sincere milk. Not being mixed with anything else. If you neglect the Word of God, it could be because you've ruined your appetite on other things. I remember one Easter Sunday. I think we were at my grandmother's house, and boy, we were going to have a ham dinner. It was going to be delicious. There was going to be ham, and nobody made ham like my grandma. I'm sorry, Brother Urban, but nobody made ham like my grandma. And in ham gravy, mashed potatoes with ham gravy, dinner rolls and, you know, green bean casserole, everything, all this wonderful, wonderful stuff. But it seemed like it just kept taking longer and longer and longer. When's it going to be ready? It'll be a little while. When's it going to be ready? It'll be a little while longer. When's it going to be? And so I started digging in my Easter basket as a kid there. And when they called me to the dinner table, I looked around and I had to burrow myself out of empty candy packages. And I got to the dinner table. I didn't want a single bite of that ham. And that gravy made me feel like I, never mind what I felt like. What had happened? I had ruined my appetite on other things. Do you desire the pure milk of the Word? The unmixed milk of the Word? Or you've been mixing other things? Have you been pigging out on the world's philosophy through a steady diet from coming through your television set, coming through what you read, coming through the music of the world? Have you been filling up on philosophy completely opposed to the Word of God, so that when it comes time to open up the Word of God, I don't want anything to do with it? Why you neglect the Word of God? It could be because you've ruined your appetite with other things. Verse 3. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Why you neglect the Word of God? It could be you've never truly experienced the graciousness of God. Oh, you got saved and you got grace, but since then, you've never really surrendered to living for the Lord. And so you've not experienced the blessings that comes along with that. You've never really submitted to God's will for your life. And so you've not experienced the graciousness of God and the blessings of God. And you feel like the Christian life is an uphill battle because the problem is you're not willing to obey. And you've not tasted that the Lord is gracious. And you think the Christian life is hard. Oh no, it's not the Christian life that's hard. It's the way of transgressors that's hard, the Bible says. Perhaps you have no desire for the Word of God because you've never really tasted the graciousness of God. And if you haven't, that's not because God's not gracious. It's because you're not doing what you need to do to be blessed. Why you neglect the Word of God? Oh, we need the Word of God. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. Oh, we need the Word of God. We need a daily regular dose of the Word of God in our lives. We need a regular ongoing dose of the Word of God from the pulpit. We need to obey the Word of God. We need to learn the Word of God. We need to understand the Word of God. We need to live by the Word of God. Oh, we need the Word of God. So often we neglect it. And so often we neglect it right when we need it the most. Why do you neglect the Word of God?